Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our newborn Savior and King. Amen. Dear fellow worshipers of the Christ Child, every Christmas Eve, we enjoy listening to our children as they recite the very familiar Christmas story recorded for us in Luke chapter 2. Even though those words are very well known to each and every one of us, our hearts are filled with comfort and joy every single time we hear them. One of my favorite parts is when the children say with all the gusto they can muster, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." I look forward to hearing that part each and every year. But have those words ever left you wondering, where is this peace on earth? There certainly isn't much peace among the various nations of this world. In fact, when we look at places such as Ukraine, Russia, Gaza, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq, there doesn't seem to be very much peace at all. When we look around right here in our own country, there doesn't always seem to be a great deal of peace on earth. In fact, it seems as though the disagreements in our country are becoming so contentious that it's always just one group of people yelling and screaming at the other, and then vice versa. We might not even have a great deal of peace in our own homes or among our own family members. All of this might leave us wondering, what were the angels thinking on that first Christmas Eve so many years ago? That is the question that our text for today both addresses and answers. With that in mind, let's study this portion of God's holy word under the theme, Good News of Great Joy, Peace on Earth. As we are studying this text, we're going to see that God the Holy Spirit places before us three groups of people, three examples that we would all do well to follow. The first example consists of Mary, Joseph, and the Christ child. The opening verses of our text reveal to us that Joseph and Mary were extremely conscientious when it came to faithfully following the law that the Lord God had given to his chosen people in order to ensure that the one who was both the true Son of God and also the true Son of Man would be a legitimate member of the covenant that God had established with the people of Israel, Luke tells us. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. If Mary and Joseph had not had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day after his birth, as the law of the Lord their God required, that would have meant that there was no peace on this earth ever, because that would have meant that Jesus would not have been a member of that covenant relationship that God established with Abraham and his descendants. In addition, Joseph and Mary knew that the law of the Lord their God not only required that their son Jesus be circumcised on the eighth day, but the law of the Lord their God required that every male child would be brought to the temple 40 days after his birth in order to be redeemed, to remind each and every generation of Israelites what the Lord their God had done for them by redeeming them, saving them, bringing them out of slavery in the land of Egypt. Every firstborn male child would be brought to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem and redeemed at the cost of the cost of a lamb. Or if they were too poor for the cost of a lamb, then two doves or two young pigeons. At the very same time, this is when that firstborn male child was consecrated to the Lord their God. And so in humble, faithful obedience to the written word of their God, Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus to the temple of the Lord 40 days after his birth. When they left the Lord's temple, their heart was filled with the peace that came from knowing that in faith, in trust, they had done what the Lord their God had required them to do. Mary and Joseph give to us a beautiful example of how faithfulness to the Word of God does indeed bring peace into our hearts and into our lives. Sadly, we live in a day and age when far too many individual Christians and far too many so-called Christian congregations have all but forsaken God's holy revealed word. Clear teachings of Scripture are cast aside as being unscientific, illogical, old-fashioned, and outdated. God's moral law, as summarized in the Ten Commandments, is very often watered down to the point where they're nothing more than just 10 suggestions. Faithful study of God's holy word is deemed a waste of time. Faithful attendance in God's holy house is considered to be unnecessary. Faithful use of our time, talents, and treasures is considered to be an imposition that is put upon God's people by self-serving clergy. If any of that, my friends, if any of that rings true for you, then perhaps you would do well to travel with Joseph and Mary from the stable to the temple and learn from their humble example of obedience to the word that the God of heaven has given to us right here in his holy word. I fear that many people today, perhaps even many people in our own circles, have simply forgotten or overlooked what the Lord tells us in John chapter 12. The standard, the guide, the yardstick, according to which we will be judged, is the faithfulness or lack of faithfulness that we have towards the truth as God reveals it to us in the Bible. Joseph's and Mary's example of faithful obedience to God's word is an example that we would all do well to take to heart this morning. Joseph and Mary's example of faithfulness to God's word is what reveals to us that through God's word, we do indeed receive the peace that we need for both our heart and our life. Luke goes on to tell us here in our text that when Joseph and Mary and the Christ child got to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they were met by a man named Simeon. Simeon gives us the second example that we want to consider this morning. Simeon occupies what we might say is a unique position in the history of God's church. Simeon is best described as someone whose heart and whose life was constantly being influenced by God the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 25 through 28 of our text. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Can you imagine what this must have been like for Simeon? For thousands of years, God's faithful people had anxiously been waiting for the consolation of Israel to be born. Generation after generation came and went without that precious birth taking place. And then somehow, we're never told exactly how, but somehow, God the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would see the Lord's Christ with his own two eyes and hold the Savior of the world in his own two arms. Every single morning, when Simeon woke up, he undoubtedly said to himself, "This could be the day." And then one day, it was. Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit to go into the temple of the Lord, and he knew exactly why. Anxiously, he watched, and he waited, and he watched, and he waited, and he watched, and he waited, until suddenly, in through the gates of the temple, came a man, his wife, and their infant child. Instantly, God the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that this is the child. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Simeon now celebrated his own personal Christmas without any lights and without any decorations, but with the most precious Christmas present of all right there in his arms. Simeon celebrated because he knew. He knew who this child is. He knew why this child was born into this world, speaking words that are still being used by God's faithful people right down to this very day. Simeon praised the sovereign Lord for fulfilling his promise and sending into this world the only source of salvation, the only source of true peace, the Christ child. Not only did this child give Simeon the peace of knowing that through faith in him, all of Simeon's sins were completely forgiven, but this child also gave Simeon the peace that came from knowing that this child is the source of true peace, the source of true light for all people, both Jews and Gentiles alike. Truly, my friends, Simeon's personal celebration of Christmas gives us an amazing insight into the blessings that a person enjoys when they allow the Holy Spirit to be influencing their heart and in their life. When we know who the child of Bethlehem is, when we know why the child of Bethlehem came into this world, that is when we will have true peace each and every day of our life. Yes, my friends, Simeon gives us a beautiful example of how blessed a person is when they are allowing the Holy Spirit to regularly influence their heart and their life. Are you perhaps searching for guidance and direction in your life? Could you perhaps use a little more certainty and confidence? Would you benefit from an inner calm that enables you to close your eyes in absolute peace? Whether that's at night when you close your eyes as you lay your head down on your pillow, or at the end of your life when you close your eyes in death. If you answered yes to any of those questions, then perhaps you need to examine how often you are allowing God the Holy Spirit to influence your heart and to influence your life. Remember, my friends, that God the Holy Spirit only works through the means of grace, the message of the gospel as it comes to us in God's holy word and in God's holy sacraments. So if you want to be more like Simeon, if you want an inner calm and an inner peace that no one can ever possibly take away from you, if you want to be able to personally celebrate Christmas each and every day of your life, then make sure that, like Simeon, you travel from the stable to God's temple on a very regular basis. The third example given to us here in our text is that of Anna. Now, when I look at Anna, I see a beautiful example of patient trust. Anna is, first of all, described as a prophetess. This means that Anna not only understood God's word, but she had the ability to teach and to explain God's word to others, since we are told that Anna never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. It's not surprising that Anna was there when Joseph and Mary brought the child Jesus into the temple of the Lord. Nor is it surprising that Anna heard Simeon's praise-filled proclamation concerning this child. And it certainly does not surprise us to hear what Anna did with what she had now learned. Anna had been patiently waiting for God to fulfill his promise of a Messiah. Remember, my friends, that Anna was a prophetess. She knew her Bible. She knew the promises that God had given to his people. She knew that when the time was right, God would fulfill his promise and send into this world his only Son as our only Savior from sin. Now that the Messiah had been born, just as the Lord God had promised, we're told that Anna gave thanks to God and spoke about this child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And since she lived right there in the temple of the Lord, Anna knew exactly who needed to hear this good news of great joy as soon as possible. Anna now gives to us a wonderful example of patient trust. Now, I will be the first to confess that patience is not one of my strong suits. I very often want what I want when I want it. I will also be the first to confess that all too often I have a tendency to trust in what I can do, in what I can understand, and in what I can fix. So when I look at Anna's example of patient trust, I always have to ask myself, how did Anna get to be like this? The answer is quite obvious. Anna was a pillar of patient trust because of the top three priorities in her life: worship, Bible study, and prayer. Anna did not become a prophetess overnight. Anna studied God's word over and over and over again until she understood what God was saying to her. Only then did she teach and explain to others what God himself had taught her. Her insight into God's word naturally led her to worship her amazing Savior God. Her insight into God's word gave her an inner peace that had a powerful impact on her outward life. Her insight into God's word automatically guided and directed her personal conversations with God. And so if patient trust is something that we could use a little more of, perhaps Anna is the example that we could take home with us today. It's only been a week. It's only been a week since we gathered together at the stable in Bethlehem to worship our newborn Savior and King. But I'm already looking forward to Christmas Eve 2024. I am especially looking forward to hearing the children say with all the gusto they can master, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." I look forward to this because I need this reassurance. When I look around in our world, I don't see a great deal of peace on earth. When I look around in my own life, I do not always feel a great deal of peace on earth. And when I look in my own mind, I know that on my own, I will never, ever be able to achieve true peace on earth. I need the example of Joseph and Mary so that I remember how important it is to read and study God's holy word and gain the peace that only God's word can give to me. I need the example of Simeon so that I will always be assured of the peace that my Savior gives to me every time I receive his holy body and his holy blood as the visible, tangible guarantee that all of my sins are completely forgiven. And since I do not have a great deal of patience, I need the example of Anna so that through faithful study of God's holy word, I can experience and explain the peace on earth that only the God of heaven can provide. My prayer then this morning is that you will take the examples that the Holy Spirit gives to us here and apply them to your heart and to your life. Then, my friends, no matter how much chaos you see taking place in the world around you, no matter how much chaos you might experience in your own personal life, you will be able to wrap your heart around the glorious proclamation of the Christmas angel. I bring you good news of great joy, peace on earth. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.